All right, here we go. And a one, and a two, and welcome to the Tales from the Long Box podcast. This is episode 279. Yeah, wow, 279. Spotlight on Marvel Comics. Yes, Marvel Comics. It's been a while, hasn't it? Inhumans versus X-Men, number zero, circa 2016. Yes, yes, I'm Chris Mosby. Yes, Caleb, what were you?
Oh, I was just going to say, I did not realize until just now that there was other publishers other than DC.
Yes. They are. Yeah. We've kind of, I don't know, when they, I was going to try to keep up with the Marvel, I don't know, all new, all different one that they did. And then I was like, oh, we're going to reboot it again, all number ones. And I'm like, okay, whatever. So,
you know, if we are going to do another Marvel, I would suggest Champions. Okay. if we're gonna do one, we might as well do a good one. I was just gonna say what we're gonna do today is not good. It is good. Charles Soule and Brokerford, and I don't know who Brown is. I'll get to the credits in a bit here, but okay. They put out good stuff. It's just we happen to be, you know, a mostly DC fan base. Hear thing people
yep.
stuff.
That is correct, sir.
And so we tend to focus there, which is, again, you know, we've done a couple independents, but we're not huge independent fans. And
I mean, Valiant was good for a while, and it just kind of just tapered off to where I wasn't interested anymore. You know,
I only read one Valiant comic now.
I don't know.
I may check out the new Harbinger book, but
that looks interesting.
But I, you know, they keep trying to shove Bloodshot down my throat, and I don't care about the character. And they,
I did. I mean, it was cool until they. I don't know. I mean, you see it a lot more these days of you know, they have a beginning, middle, and end of a comic, and what they had done in that comic seemed like an end to me. And then it's like, oh wait, we want to do more with this, but we did this, and so let's do this and try to make it come back. You know, I thought the story, to me, the story was ended. I think they did it a little too fast for my opinion, but hey, you know, to each his own.
Yeah. No, I'm down to ANA Archer and Armstrong. That's my only. It's my only Valiant book, and if they ever deem to do another Quantum and Woody book, I'll probably check it out. But
that didn't take off as well as they thought, I guess, right?
No, and I don't know why, because I thought it was fun.
I don't know. Okay.
Someday. Yeah. They're just fine. They got movies and TV shows in the work, and.
Yeah, I mean, that seems like that's what Hollywood's eating up right now. So,
and then in terms of our independent consumption, you know, I think the only other independent book I read regularly is Archie.
See, I don't even read that. I was reading. I'm trying to think what I was reading.
I take it back. I got some Image books I read, but that's.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not reading them regularly, but I buy the trades when they come out, or the, you know, hardcover, because like Black Science, Fear Agent, which has been over for a while, a lot of Rick Remender stuff. There's a lot of stuff he's put out I really like. They haven't put a second hardcover of Black Science out yet. I was looking yesterday, but they're coming close to it. And I've got two hardcovers of Lazarus by Rucka that I haven't read.
Playing catch up.
Yeah. I mean, and I'm so behind on the monthly stuff. I think I've only read like one or two issues of Nightwing. It's been busy around here, which we've discussed before.
I gathered that. I don't know where I read that.
Yeah, and I've been working so much, I jacked my arm up that I had to stay off the computer all day yesterday. So I just watched TV. So it was great.
Luke Cage?
No, okay. I got that all right. I was really disappointed in that.
I haven't finished it yet, so.
I liked him on it, Well, Rosario Dawson, because she's awesome. But all the other acting on it, all the other acting on it was just like, did you just get out of acting school or
Oh,
what?
you didn't like oh, what's her name? The older woman. I'm blanking on her name. The one who played Mariah in Luke Cage. Hi, Internet. Help me now, Internet.
I know who you're talking about. No, most of them just seem really bad actors. I mean, they either that or they had in the mentality, I'm doing a something based on a comic book, so I've got to do it like Adam West.
Alfre Woodard. Sorry. Okay. Yeah.
Yes. No, she can do better than that.
Okay.
That's just my opinion. But hey, I love Luke Cage. Every piece that it seemed like everything, anytime you saw Luke Cage in, the guy playing Luke Cage in anything else, it's like whoever was in the scene with him, they seemed to be even a better actor. But I don't know. It just was cold. The whole thing was cold. All those scenes, anything that wasn't didn't have that actor in it, it's like this is terrible. I really had a hard time watching it, but.
My wife hasn't watched Luke Cage, but she's a big fan of the actor. He was on Good Wife. He was a
That's
recurring guest star in there for a while.
yeah,
He played a really, really awful person on there, but he totally dominated every scene he was in. He is
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. It's like he's just, I don't know, I don't know. And there were some big names in there too. Well, I mean, and the chick that played Misty Knight, my God. I just couldn't
I didn't think.
connect. I don't know
No, I
why.
couldn't either. I didn't either. I hope they don't do the rumored spin-off with her.
Oh,
That's
and you know, I don't know if it was the writing, but it's like I said, he seemed to be so much better. So I don't know.
I do like that they've made Misty or not Misty Knight, the Rosario Dawson, the night nurse character. She's kind of the tie-in character through
Yeah,
all the series.
I think
I
that's
thought that was
great too.
cool. And then they had the assistant DA from the second Daredevil series was in Luke Cage too. The young black guy.
I know who you're talking about.
Yeah. So.
And I know those it all ties together. I'm wondering how, I mean, Doctor Strange is based in New York. I'm wondering how that's gonna,
It's not. They're they've
they're not
they've
gonna
made
link them.
no, they made such a big deal of the fact that they basically have three cinematic, they have three universes. They have
I thought it was all related because they kept mentioning stuff from Avengers and Daredevil especially.
mention it, but the characters are never gonna pop up here or
Yeah,
there.
okay.
They're, you know,
Well, that's
the
fine.
Netflix characters will never be in the movies, and neither will the and you know, the Agent of Shield characters will never be on the Netflix shows, and it's just
Which is fine. I stopped watching all those.
I never even finished season one.
I got into season one, and then they had that thing and the reveal that made me mad, and then they did two, and then it just got the one character out of that whole bunch I couldn't stand is who was made the focus of the entire series. So as it progressed, and she was more and more and more, that Sky, quote unquote, hacker chick, as she kept getting more and more prominent, I liked it less and less, and I was thought about starting the third season, and I saw Jamal Igel say, "Damn you, Shield, Agent of Shield, you suck," or something like that. It's like, okay, well, if he don't like it, I'm not gonna watch it anymore. So I was just okay. I don't know what I'm gonna try. So I don't even barely watch Arrow anymore. It got, which is supposed to be better, but Flash is the only one I really care about. Though I do have a playlist set up on my Plex for the Invasion crossover 4-episode thing, so that should be interesting.
We've only watched the first two, which the second one is so comic book. I mean, it is it they have a, just so many of the comic book tropes in there, which is good in a good way. I mean, it's I was cr it was cringeworthy is how good it was. It was like, oh God, I can't believe they're including that. Oh no, oh God, I just don't want to watch. But
Yeah,
anyhow,
well, we're saving that for Christmas vacation, so.
enjoy. Yeah, we may watch part three this afternoon after the football game.
But we got a bunch of Flash episodes to catch up on, too, so. So, geez, man, we've rambled on for a good 10 minutes here. Let's get into this.
Okay, hey, so Inhuman, go ahead.
The reason that I brought this up is I kind of missed the X-Men, and I read about this Resurrection thing with capitals in weird places, and they're bringing all these X-Men books back, and I'm, like, mildly intrigued. Oh, remember when we did New Mutants number one a while back?
Oh, my God, yeah.
Yeah, and I really enjoyed it, and I was, like, wondered why I never read it. And I've mentioned the Epic Collections frequently. They put out, and I just ordered it on DCBS, they've got a New Mutants Epic Collection. It's the first volume, so it's got the first big chunk of New Mutants stuff in it, and I ordered that, so I'm looking forward to getting that and reading it.
Well, enjoy. Yeah,
I'm looking forward to it. Because I was going on eBay looking for New Mutants Classics because they were putting out, you know, 10, 12 issues or whatever, trades, and they're like way out of print. And anything that's out of print in Marvel, it's going to be hard to get. But they just, I saw it on Amazon several months ago, but it just came on DCBS and ordered it for like, I don't know, 50%. So it's like 17 instead of 35. So good stuff.
That's cheap.
Yes, very cheap.
All right. So,
anyway,
Inhumans versus X-Men. This is Marvel's continuing attempt to make the Inhumans more relevant, which they're doing a decent job. I wish they were a little more subtle about it, but
did
whatever.
Hear about the Inhuman series that they're doing?
Yes,
that TV series, They're going to show it on IMAX first, apparently.
Yes, they are. They're going to milk it for all the money they can get.
Apparently, because it's about the only property that they own fully right now, I take it.
That's right. There's always a question mark next to everything else.
Yes, exactly.
So the cover that I have is the Kenneth Rockeford cover, which, by the way, Kenneth Rockeford, awesome. He recently finished up his run on the latest Ultimates series, which was really good, with Al Ewing, which I really enjoyed the hell out of. But he got sucked into this crossover here. Not crossover, that's the wrong word. It really is a bookend. They're redefining, as you said, the X-Men universe, and they're trying to increase the relevance of the Inhumans, because there's this, and I'll get into it in a minute here, but there's a reason why the Inhumans are taking over the world and the X-Men are kind of fading into the background. And, you know, conspiracy theories aside, which is that, you know, Marvel, the publisher is doing it because they can't do anything with the X-Men cinematically. So they're saying, well, screw you, we won't promote them at all. But that's clearly not true, because they're redoing their whole, including a Cable series, which is,
yeah,
he's rumored to be featured prominently in the next Deadpool movie, which is completely and utterly not owned at all by Marvel for cinematic reasons. You know,
yeah, James Robinson's supposed to write it.
So, the series, yeah, the comic book. Oh, yeah, he did it for a period of time back in the, what would that be, the 2000s, the early 2000s. So
yeah, I had no idea. Oh, I think I do know about that.
Yeah, I would say it's probably late 90s, early 2000s. He did it,
okay.
And then he handed it over to Joe Casey, who completely redefined the character. And
of
anyhow,
course.
So
of
here we are.
He did.
Of course he did. That's what he does. He plays in other people's sandboxes.
Exactly.
So we have a cover. We have Medusa going up against Storm, and on the floor, the Beast, who has been a co-star in the Uncanny Inhuman series, is getting frustrated with something and breaking a pencil. And it's pure Rockefeller cover. I mean, the whole lots of angles and squares and big full breasts on the women. Every woman he draws, as we will see going through this issue, has, no matter how old they are, have big full breasts.
Yes. God bless him.
But it's a great cover. I like this cover a lot.
Yeah, it's a good cover.
Beast is just looks like he's just gonna slam his face in the floor in a minute here. He's so frustrated.
Yeah, it's been rough, man.
So in summary, and there's spoilers, whatever, and this spoils a recently finished Death of X series.
Yeah. Took
That
me a
Marvel
while to
just
realize that that's what happened when I read it the first time. It's like, oh, okay, well, I don't have to read that anymore.
That's right. It's all right here.
Yeah.
All right. So,
Funny how that works. What was it, six issues all right there?
I think it was four, but
Yeah, okay.
So they gloss over the fact that in this little intro here, I'm just going to break away from a second, is that Black Bolt, who was at one point the king and leader of the Inhumans, he released the Terrigen Mists on Earth, and they kind of gloss they skip over the fact that Black Bolt is the one who released them. So anyhow, when the
Okay.
Terrigen Mists, there we go, the catalyst that grants Inhumans their powers were discovered to be poisonous to keep to mutants. Veteran X-Men Cyclops and Emma Frost set out to destroy the Terrigen clouds that were circling the Earth. Though they succeeded in eradicating one cloud and thus half the Terrigen on Earth, their crusade was cut short when Black Bolt, the king of the Inhumans, retaliated and seemingly killed Cyclops. With such great losses on both sides, the X-Men and human leaders agreed to a truce, allowing mutant scientist Dr. Henry McCoy, aka the Beast, or just Beast, excuse me, to search for means of peacefully preserving the futures of both people. But little did anyone suspect that Emma Frost was keeping a secret. The Cyclops who died in battle with Black Bolt was actually just her psychic projection. The real Cyclops had died earlier of Terrigen poisoning, but only after telling Emma that mutant kind couldn't end this way, and thus she has decided to march on until the job is done. So another thing they gloss over here is that Terrigen Mists do not kill every single mutant they come in contact with.
Ah.
Mostly, but not all. Some just get sick, or some just, no effect at all. It's all based on their prominence within the X-Men universe, I would say.
Exactly.
How popular is the character?
It's like, oh, we got plans for a mini series of that character. He's going to be just fine.
And not kill him. And it's important to note that the Terrigen Mist is what the Inhumans needed. And for whatever reason, they used to keep it bottled up like a genie in a bottle,
I
and they
thought
can't.
that was, for my Inhumans experience, it was like it was a rite of passage or only royals, and then they'd be exposed to it and then see if they had powers or not. So, and I remember when it happened, I just don't know why, they decided, well, we're just going to cover the planet with this stuff, like some kind of super fertilizer.
Yeah, and I don't remember the circumstances either, but they did, and it's a very comic book science that they can that it keeps contained to two clouds, because in reality it should be dissipating,
The
as
most dis
like
the most
something in water.
disturbing thing I've seen saw on this Who's Who page is that Sabretooth is an X-Man.
Yes, but okay. So real quick, so Charles Soule wrote this thing. Kenneth Rocafort, as I've already noted, one of my favorite artists working right now, drew it. Dan Brown colored it, or excuse me, he's the color artist. And I want to actually, I'm going to dig these up. There's an alternate cover by Alan Davis and Mark Farmer, which I'd like to see. A Ron Lim one with Andy Smith and Rochelle Rosenberg. I'd like to see those.
Yeah, I did. The ones I have only had the one, so yeah, I'll have to look for those too.
To see the Alan Davis one especially.
Oh
Though
yeah.
Ron Lim was cool.
I've
So
always loved Ron Lim. I always thought he was awesome.
and
Anyway.
we should note that both teams were created by Stan Lee and Jack Kirby, which I think that's good to know. Yes, and as you we have the on the Inhuman side, we have Medusa, Black Bolt, and ISO, the all new Inhumans, Crystal, Gorgon, Flint, and Grid. With Beast sitting solidly in the middle of this, and on the X-Men side, Emma Frost, the Stepford Cuckoos, Storm, Magic, Magneto, Sabretooth, Psylocke, Monet. They're uncanny X-Men, by the way. And then all new X-Men, Young Beast, Young Iceman, and Young Cyclops. So, Yeah, that's them. Yes, you're right. He's it's Sabretooth. While he's an uncanny X-Men, they're kind of the proactive team. They're like X-Force was for a while under
Which ones?
The uncanny X-Men:
Okay,
Magneto,
okay.
Sabretooth, Psylocke, and Monet. They also have Nightcrawler with them, and oh, I don't even know who else. Mystique is with them. So they're a little more proactive. And so we jump to the first page 8 months ago, and this is going to be right after Secret Wars ended, that latest one where they were all on Planet Doom, whatever. And
Okay.
8 months ago, and they came, and all this stuff happened in the interim. Marvel did this like 8 month jump from the end of Secret Wars to the issue that came out right afterwards. So.
They did it 8 months later, like DC did, well, 1 year later
Yeah,
thing.
exactly. Yes, they had to do 8 months because, well, got to be different.
Not quite long enough to have a baby.
So we have a split screen between New Attilan, which is on the off the shores of New York City, and on the other side of the screen is Muir Island. And again, you got the Rocafort squares and angles all over the place. I don't know why. Does it really appeal to me? I can't
What?
exactly the way he draws it just appeals to me an awful lot.
Yeah, well, I understand.
So we're New Adeline. Beast is talking. All right, let's get to work. I like how they designate each of them mutant or inhuman. Talking to ISO, who's an inhuman. You seem so happy, Dr. McCoy. And why shouldn't I be happy, ISO? We have science to do. And for those who care, he is back to being the beast rather than the cat beast.
Oh yeah, I seems like I remember that.
That was the during the Morrison era. And now we're on Muir Island, and we have the half naked, half dressed Emma Frost, aka the White Queen, wearing black. She's a mutant, and she's telebroadcasting. Ideas never die. Oh no, that's from the sorry, my bad. That's from the little handheld reader that she's holding, which she sets on top of a gravestone. And then she has a little stopwatch in her hand and she dives off a cliff. Boo!
Yeah, and if I remember correctly, before they re did all those series and stuff, after AVX, Avengers versus X-Men, a lot of them's powers got flaked out and didn't work right. I was reading it for a while, so I don't know how that's if that's changed or not. You'd know more than I would.
Yeah, all the characters who were infected with the Phoenix Force, they were their powers were, at least for a few minutes, wonky. They never really followed up on that.
Because I the first few issues of that Uncanny X-Men I was reading, because had Cyclops in it, and Magneto's powers and his powers and Cyclops and hers were all flaked. She could read people's minds as well, and he couldn't use his magnetism, and Cyclops's eye blast barely worked. I wondered
Yeah,
how they.
well,
Yeah, they didn't keep. They didn't stick with that very long. Okay,
they
figures.
didn't stick with it.
That
No. Yeah.
figures.
We could flip this issue. That's each page basically flips back and forth between two stories that eventually coalesce near the end of the issue. At the end of the issue, but so then we flip back to Beast and ISO. They're in the lab. I just don't. She's asking, I don't understand why you're smiling. Mutants are on the verge of extinction. True, but at least this time the problem isn't related to some supervillain or killer robots or an unstable witch or a time anomaly, which, by the way, all those have happened. It's just chemistry. It's science. And through science, all things are possible. I don't want to contradict you, Dr. McCoy. No, you must always contradict me. Never, ever be afraid to disagree with me, and I will do the same, do you the same courtesy. If you insist, all right, base principles. Terrigen, a chemical agent which catalyzes certain telomeres in an inhuman DNA. When activated, those telomeres express new traits. Our appearance changes, we gain powers. And then he says, yes, quite miraculous for inhumans. For mutants, Terrigen contact may cause the Mpox sickness, even
So,
death.
how many times have they done this mutant disease thing? Last one I remember, which is pretty much back as far as I was actually reading X-Men on a regular basis, was a legacy virus. And yeah, anyway.
Yeah, I think this is the latest version of that. There's always something. They are. And you think he would have been as excited by the legacy virus as he is by this, but I would have to go back and check out those issues to see if he
No,
was.
I think it was a lot. He wasn't as chipper, that's for sure. I don't know, but I mean, this is the guy that brought the younger X-Men back in time to keep Cyclops from being an asshole, I guess.
Epic fail. So she says, look, the only way to solve this is that you have to get rid of the X gene, and if you do that, then mutants would no longer exist. And back to Emma Frost, and she is diving off the cliff. She's timing herself, and she hits 10 seconds, and she converts to her diamond form and crashes into the shore. Pretty cool page, actually.
Yeah, it's really nice.
And back to Beast and ISO. Now, I don't think mutants are done for just yet. How can you be so relaxed? How can you be so relaxed about all this? Oh, I get it. You already have a plan. Nope. No idea what we're gonna do. Honestly, it seems like we're in a pretty big fix. So why? I already told you. Through science, all things are possible. And he's slipping something out of his pocket. 30,000 years ago, our only method for creating a record of ourselves was to paint something on the cave, wall of a cave. And he takes a selfie of himself and her behind him. But now, with a little more than a thought, I can capture this moment forever. In fact, I can send it anywhere in the world. To the caveman, what I just did would be impossible. The act of a god. Now, it's the act of a child. The only difference is, well, science.
Yes. That's good. I like that. That's the beast I like right there.
Yeah. Charles Soule actually doing something with a smile. Most of his stuff is usually pretty dour. At
Yeah,
least the
I've noticed that. I was like,
stuff I
go ahead.
remember.
What?
Yeah. No. We're in agreement there.
Yeah.
So back to Emma Frost. She's crawling out of a crater in her diamond form, tossing away the timer, and she converts back to being flesh and blood and walks up the Luke Skywalker stairs up Muir Island.
She really did love him, didn't she?
She did. And she's up at a gravestone, and up walk the Stepford Cuckoos, who, I don't remember which writer did it, but he gave them all different haircuts, which I thought was brilliant. And it's Mindy, Celeste, and Phoebe. And Mindy says, Miss Frost, what are you doing? And they're all clones of her, just
Oh, I didn't know they were actual clones.
yeah, or some,
I knew they were sisters, but because I
yeah,
remember
some.
seeing them at one point with all blonde hair, I guess they decided to change, you know. But
They wanted to be individuals. Yeah.
yeah, man, I kind of X at one point I was a month avid monthly reader of all X-Men, and it got to a point where I divested myself of everything Marvel, including that, and I still kind of regret it. I mean, I'm trying to get some of that back with the omnibuses and the other things. They're putting out epic collections of them as well. Stuff. I'm trying not to get anything that overlaps with the books I already got, but yeah, I just miss the X-Men. It was like they were the whole mutant thing. Connected with me because I was always bullied and stuff when I was a kid. So I was like, in my brain, I was a mutant too, you know? And to see that some of this stuff get to the point it is kind of sad, you know?
Well, they're giving you an opportunity coming up here in a few
Yeah,
months.
that's what I've been thinking, you know? I could try some of that stuff out. The X-Men gold and blue thing really, because I was reading it when they had that for a while, and I remember. I had that issue where Cyclops and Storm fought for the leadership of the team, and
Oh, way back in the day.
yes, I was way back there.
So in anyway, this book, we are back to Iso and the Beast having their philosophical science conversation. 30,000 years of science, Dr. McCoy. How much time do you think we have? Well, I don't know, Iso. I do know that this crisis killed my old friend, Jamie Madrox, and it drove Cyclops mad. He died trying to solve it, and he got poor Alchemy killed as well. And Alchemy was his character who basically brought back to die, but he had the ability to convert chemicals like Element Lad or
Chemical King.
Yeah.
Chemical King, not so much. Good point.
Yeah. Well, he also died like him. He died too, but he destroyed one of the Terrigen clouds, but died doing it. And basically they reminded that they have a truce, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And because this is a problem we can attack with our minds, and my mind is exceptional. And according to Queen Medusa, so is yours. That's very nice of her to say. I'm still very new to all this, and I didn't have much of an education before I came to New Adelan, but, oh, please, I hate modesty. It's inefficient. Now, as I said, let's get to work. And he's playing with a test tube full of probably Terrigen mist. And back to Emma and the Stepfords. And she says, I'm working on changing into a diamond form more quickly. Leaping off a cliff proves quite the incentive. I'm using a timer, waiting a bit longer each time to trigger the change. But why, Miss Frost? That seems dangerous. Of course it's dangerous. That's the point. I need the pressure. It's the closest I can get to what it will be like to face Black Bolt again. Black Bolt, why do you want to get anywhere near him? I should think that's obvious. He killed Scott. Don't believe the popular narrative, girls. Revenge is actually quite satisfying and wonderful. But, Miss Frost, he didn't kill Scott. It was the mists, the Terrigen. Black Bolt didn't kill Cyclops. It was all a trick, your trick. You remember what happened actually happened, don't you? Of course I do. Don't be ridiculous. Ridiculous. And she shows a video of Black Bolt killing Cyclops. You can see it right here, plain as day. Don't worry about me, ladies. I'm just fine. And she's kind of lost it because she knows that Black Bolt didn't actually directly kill Cyclops. But as I noted earlier, he indirectly.
Yeah, exactly. That's Cyclops. What I was going to say. Isn't he the one that released the mists?
Yep. So indirectly, he did in fact kill Cyclops. And he did kill Madrox. Though that's a death that's easily reversed.
It's not the prime one, I would imagine, right?
Well, they claimed it was. In the issue, they claimed that the one that Cyclops was holding was Madrox Prime. But as established by Peter David, there's all these, you know, Madroxes hanging around the world.
Yeah.
Doing their thing. There was one that was a priest. There was one that was a father. I mean, it was just a...
I remember seeing parts of that. I never read it, but I remember hearing about it.
So it would be very, very easy to bring him back.
Yeah.
Though Cyclops, not so much. He went kablooey. Now we're all...
There's the young one, so...
Yes, that's true. And they've got...
Which, he's gonna, isn't he in Champions? And he's going to be in the X-Men Blue, I guess? Or Gold? I don't remember which. Oh, yep. What am I talking about? Spider-Man, they can do that with Wolverine. They can do that just fine. Yeah, no problem. Yeah, I've been meaning to read Champions. I heard it was good.
It is. It's issue 3 now, and it was really well done. And it's got one of the Vision characters in it.
I saw that.
Viv Vision.
Yes, so. There we go. I appear to have, I got all the issues already.
Of Champions, it's a good read. Mark Waid.
Yes, I know. That's why I wanted to read it.
So now we jump ahead 2 months, and it's now 6 months ago, and we got the Inhumans traveling ship that Crystal's been going around in, and the other scene on the bottom is. I guess we'll find out in a minute because I don't remember. But we have a Blackbird in a helicopter. Oh, yeah, we're in the Savage Land on that.
Of course. On a flying platform.
Well, it's not flying. It's balancing.
Oh, okay. So is that her ship or is that the Blackbird her ship?
The one on the bottom is excuse me, it's Emma Frost's ship. The one on the top is Crystal's.
Oh, okay. Oh, I see. Gotcha.
So we're in the South Pacific now, and Henry McCoy is talking to Crystal, who is inhuman, by the way, and Gorgon's over there still in his wheelchair. He's also an inhuman. And that vessel, by the way, is the Royal Inhuman Vessel, or the RIV, RIV, which they use prominently in, I don't know, whichever series Crystal inhabits.
Didn't they call her, they said uncanny Inhumans or
Uncanny
something?
Inhumans,
Yes.
yes. All right, so I designed this with the help of some engineers at on New Adelon, says Beast. It's based on our Cerebro technology, but your people assure me it will integrate with your systems, ship systems seamlessly. Thank you, Beast. We primarily use the RIV to track the Terrigen Cloud, knowing in advance if there are mutants in the path. It will help us get them out of danger. I'll go ahead and get it installed, says Gorgon, who has got a brain now, by the way. In the olden days, Gorgon was kind of a doofus, but they've made him smart, a la Scotty from Star Trek universe.
Ah, gotcha.
And they're heading towards an island, and he's like, odds are pretty low that they're inhumans or mutants living there, but better safe than sorry. I agree, Gorgon, says Crystal, who, by the way, got rid of that stupid headband, which, thank God.
How long she had that?
Oh, when was the whenever Kirby first designed her. And Iso's hooking back up with her old friends Flint and Grid.
Oh,
So nice to
did
see you,
okay.
Flint.
Her wasn't she and Quicksilver married it and had a kid at one time, or have they
Yep.
retconned that out?
No, it's still out there.
So the kid's walking around somewhere?
Yep.
Okay.
Luna.
Oh, that's right, Luna. I remember her name now. Okay.
And Iso's hooking, meeting up with Flint again, and you're welcome to take a tour with us anytime you want, Iso, blah, 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 yada, yada, yada. Anyhow, someday maybe, says Iso, but right now I have to stay in New Adelon. I'm helping Dr. McCoy research the Terrigen problem. And Flint says, maybe it's a problem for mutants. I'm not sure it's that much of a problem for us. And they basically, us and them. And Grid says, of course it is. We almost went to serious straight up war with mutants a few months ago, and it's this situation. If this situation doesn't get fixed, it'll happen again. And oh, hey, two pages in a row with the same characters. My God.
Yeah, no kidding.
And he can and sorry, I lost my train of thought here for just a second. And then Grid continues on. It's all nicey nice right now, but if we don't find a cure for the Impact soon, try to destroy the last Terrigen Cloud. Mark my words. And Flint is all, I believe that. They did it once. We lost half the Terrigen in the world, and that's more summary, exposition, exposition. And we are reminded that Flint and Iceman, the kid one, don't like each other. And Iso's telling him, no, McCoy is doing the right thing. He's trying to do right by everyone. And we go to McCoy and Crystal, and this is your most up-to-date data on the cloud, he asks. Yes, we took those readings yesterday. Why? Do you see something unusual? Possibly. This is just what I see after a quick pass, but from what I can tell, the cloud is shrinking. Dr. Shrinker. Dr. Shrinker. Sorry, I don't know where that came from.
Oh, I just, the headman might be gone, but it looks like the color thing is part of her hair. If you look at
Yeah,
the
it's in the
second,
back. Yeah.
yeah.
Yeah, she's got that's the funkiest hairstyle ever. I've seen that, it's like the skunk hair, only it's got that circle in the back.
Yeah, that's kind of weird, but hey, they're inhumans, right?
And look at that second panel. I mean, he even goes so far as to do all the, like almost like individual hair strokes. So it's not like a solid black line. It is in her hair. That is so cool.
Yeah, that's really neat, man.
And Gorgon gets the thing attached to the ship and says, warning, X-gene carrier detected in path of Terrigen Cloud. Time to contact 4 minutes. Well, that ain't good. All personnel, scramble for emergency evac. Get the shuttle ready for launch. This is going to be tight. I'm sorry, Beast. We'll have this finished.
I'm not used to seeing her in that kind of a role. It was always a damsel in distress. Of course, that's older stuff that I've read.
But, yeah, she's taken on a new personality.
Which is fine.
Yeah. And she says, hey, we'll talk about this later. You got to go save a life. And he's watching from the big window. And they're over this island. And you can see the Terrigen Mist Cloud. It changes size based on whichever story they're telling. Because, right, in some stories, it's like a small cloud passing through the sky. In this one, it is a big tsunami looking thing, because in the Death of X, it is definitely not as big as they're portraying it there. It is much smaller. Now we're back in, we're in Poland. I'm sorry, it was not the Savage Land, it was Poland.
Yeah, that it was two different places. I realize that now.
My bad. I knew the first one that was not, it was just somewhere in the South Pacific, but I thought that this part with Magneto was in,
you know, Savage Land. This little scene here, I've kind of skipped ahead and read a little bit, is one of the reasons why I have problems coming back, is because there's no real heroes.
Well, in this particular series that these characters come from, not really, but there are in others. The all-new X-Men that focus on the young X-Men.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
As well as the all-new Wolverine and mm-hmm. Kid Apocalypse, and it is. They're all...
And that's kind of the reason why I kind of got away from it, I guess, in the old days, is I don't know, there's a lot of gray areas, not very much of the other. Anyway, go ahead.
So we've got Magneto, he's a mutant apparently, and he's offering Emma Frost more wine. She's like, always. Do me a favor, Eric, perhaps, before I leave here, throw something at me with your powers, very hard, very fast, without warning. That seems unwise. Why should I? And he's using a little piece of metal to pour the wine. He's not actually touching anything with his hands, which is a nice touch. Mm-hmm. And she says, because I asked you to do it, or don't. I don't care. I'm honestly more curious about this ridiculous place, Eric. What is this? This, my dear, is a display. This platform weighs 1,000 tons and it's balancing, and I'm balancing it atop a spire a meter wide. I like to remind my team of my capabilities from time to time, not to mention you, Emma. And behind them stand Psylocke, Sabretooth, and Monet, or M, depending on who's telling the story, all mutants from various X-Men teams. Mm-hmm. And Emma says, no angels on the head of a pin. And of course, if anyone becomes annoying, you can tip the whole thing on its side and drop us a few hundred feet into the valley. Exactly, he
that
says.
That sounds just like him. He's showing how powerful. He's obviously got his powers back up.
Yeah, his level is clearly there. And he's like, what did you wish to discuss? Finishing the job. Ah, of course, Emma, listen to me. I want the rest of the Terrigen removed from the planet as much as anyone alive. But there are certain realities we must face. The Inhumans were incredibly powerful to begin with, and more of them appear on the planet every day because of that damn cloud. The only reason we destroyed as much Terrigen as we did is because we took them by surprise. And even then we lost, well, you know who we lost. Yes, I do. What is your point? My point is that we attack again, they will be ready for us. The remaining Terrigen Cloud is all that exists in the world. It's the only way new Inhumans can access their power. And it's bound up in their traditions. It's sacred to them. That's why Medusa has her sister guarding the cloud in that ugly ship. They claim it is a humanitarian mission, but that thing is a battleship. They're protecting that Terrigen from us. And Black Bolt alone can vaporize my people with a single word. Karnak can see all of our weaknesses, not to mention all the new ones. Who knows what powers Medusa's people can access? I'm not sure how we could. Why, Eric, you sound afraid, says Emma. And just a quick aside, again, there was a point where they were just populating the world with mutants all over the place.
I mean, yeah, yeah.
Mutants were extremely popular, so they sold. So they just, mm-hmm. you know, oh, hey, someone can make a... IKEA furniture, build quickly. Oh, that's a mutant power, and boom, they're an X-Men.
Of course.
Someone can use a mouse without getting carpal tunnel syndrome. Boom, they're a mutant.
I remember that.
And now they're doing it with the Inhumans. Everybody is potentially an Inhuman, and boom, they get cocooned, and then they come out, and they've got, they can automatically know which way to put a USB cord into the port without doing it the wrong way 10 times. So it's just that's sorry that they've taken over that role in the Marvel Universe.
No, I've saw that, and it's, like what we said, it's I mean, they tied it into the TV show. That's what, Inhumans are all over the place on there, and even back when I was stopped watching it in the middle of second season, that's what they were going for, and
Yep.
so.
And then in the background, Sabretooth was cleaning his claws with a knife, and the knife was flying away and hits Emma Frost, crack. And she had quickly turned into her crystal form, and he had tried to kill her, just like she asked him to. She says, "Thank you, Eric. Just what I was looking for. Very kind. Now listen, I have a plan that will give us, excuse me, everything we want. The second Terrigen Cloud will be destroyed. The planet will be made safe for mutant kind. I will have my revenge on the woman who ordered Scott's death and the man who carried it out. I need you. I need your power, your immortality, and the monsters who call you their leader. Things must be done, dark things, and you are the darkest man I know."
He's immortal now.
I don't know. That's, I don't know.
Well, I know they de-aged him and re-aged him because he was a kid during World War II, and they had to cover that up somehow, or make that fit. So, okay, that's fine.
He's as old as they need him to be.
Yeah, exactly.
So then we jump ahead another 2 months. It's now 4 months ago, and here's a Savage Land on the top side, and on the bottom we have the VW van and TARDIS that they drag around, the all new X-Men drag around with them.
TARDIS.
Yes, it is bigger on the out
So
inside than on
inside.
the
Oh,
outside.
okay, gotcha.
And we're in the Savage Land, and ISO and the Beast are doing experiments. And she says, "Why do they call this place a Savage Land?" "Oh, it's really quite wonderful," he says. "It's an entire preserved biosphere. Many of the plants and animals have survived the KPG extinction event at the end of the Cretaceous. So you've got your dinosaurs and such, but also various evolutionary digressions from that time. It's a chance to see what the world might have been like if the asteroid hadn't hit. Fascinating stuff. Just fascinating." So science. Fascinating. Yep. "And why are we here?" she asks. "Well, you recall that when we visited Crystal on the Riv, we learned that the remaining Terrigen Cloud is in fact shrinking. Some Terrigen is surely being absorbed as the new humans are created, but the rate I saw was higher than expected. I suspect environmental dispersion is occurring." Ta-da! More science. "And you think that missing Terrigen is here?" she asks. "I hope not. The Savage Land is pristine. There should be no Terrigen here at all. But if it does appear, this detector will send out a signal. I don't think it will happen, but better safe than." And behind them, a T-Rex is about to chomp down on him, and he's all, "Sorry." And they cut from there, and now we're in Detroit, and we got the young X-Men, the time-displaced X-Men. Right here, we've got Iceman and the Beast. And they're young, they're children, and Emma Frost is meeting up with them. She said, "This is how you all live in this? How rustic. And it's bigger on the inside. We do okay. What can we do for you, Emma? It's been quite a while," says the Beast. "It's been very, very busy, grown up things." And he says, "Honestly, we were worried about you. I mean, since..." And behind them walks the young X-Men, or the young Cyclops.
Yeah, that would be awkward, wouldn't it?
It would be awkward. Now we're back in the Savage Land, and ISO and the Beast are running away from the Tyrannosaurus Rex. "Hold it off. I need a moment to get this to get to set the device." "Hold it off," she says. "Yes, use your powers. Just don't kill it. It's an incredibly unique specimen." What about me? I am also a unique specimen, Dr. McCoy. You can do it, Iso. I believe in you, and he's
So
planting his life.
what is her powers?
I don't know.
Okay, that's fine.
But she does displace it, and we're back to Detroit. Doctor, Detroit. And Emma's talking to the young X-Men, and she's crying. She's crying diamonds. That's new. That's kind of creepy, in fact. She diamonded up. That's her,
yeah,
her defense. She does that when she also doesn't want to deal with stuff. It kind of gives her a hard exterior.
Yes.
And she says, "We're all going to die unless you help me. I need all of you young X-Men. Jean Grey in particular has a role to play in the short term. Can I count on you?" Well, obviously, we'll need some specifics, but if things are really that dire, of course, we'll do what we good enough for me. I'll be in touch. And she walks off, leaving the three young X-Men to contemplate whatever the hell she could be implying.
This is really good. I'm enjoying this.
Cool. We jump ahead another 2 months. It's now 2 months ago, and Beast is approaching Medusa, whose hair is doing some funky ass stuff. And the other side of the panel is a pompous pompadour party. Probably the Hellfire Club would be my guess. But we'll jump ahead here a page. See, and look, all the women have big boobs.
Awesome.
Look at that. Busting out of that bustier.
Bless you, sir.
That's you. And we're now in, New Adelon, Medusa, Queen, Inhuman. And Beast is saying, "You invited me into your home 6 months ago, Medusa, as part of the truce between our people after the destruction of the first cloud and Cyclops' death." I like that they're equating the destruction of the cloud and Cyclops' death are like equal. Okay. "I have lived among you ever since, working with your scientists to try and find an answer to what seems like an insolvable puzzle." Yes. "Please tell me that was the preamble to you describing an ingenious solution." "I wish that were so," he says. "The Terrigen's ability to cause change is mirrored in the X-gene. Terrigen creates a new attack for the specific genome of every individual mutant. We're not looking for a single cure. We have to find a new one for each mutant." So basically he's saying
Jesus.
That it's going to, basically the cloud is going to mutate for each mutant.
Yeah.
So ironic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very ironic.
And she reminds him, "All things are possible in science. Do you not still believe that?" He says, "I do. Of course I do." And she says, "I do too." And he walks off. He's chilling in his medieval lab up there.
Oh, crap.
What?
Oh, I was reading ahead. Sorry.
Oh, okay. And he eavesdrops in on a conversation that Black Bolt is, or that Medusa's having with Black Bolt and Crystal, and looks like, what's his name? The mad guy. "Black Bolt, all of you, Beast hasn't found a solution. I'll continue to support him in every way I can. He's a good man, brilliant and honest. But a day will come when the mutants lose their patience with him, with us, and with this truce. Another attack will come. We will not start that fight, but we must be ready to win it." And Beast is not happy to hear that.
Nope.
And we're now in New York City, the Hellfire Club. Hey, I remembered correctly. Look at me. And Emma Frost is having drinks with some unknown person. Appears to be a woman. And Emma's saying, or no, yeah, Emma's saying, "You'll need to get started now. You need a plausible backstory, and that will take time." And the unknown person says, "Oh, I know, Emma. I think that'll be my favorite part. It's been a long time since I did anything like this. It'll be nice to see if I've still got the skills. Sometimes you wonder if the only reason you're still working is because of your reputation, you know? My mother always told me," says Emma, "that reputation was the last thing a girl needed. But personally, I've always found mine to be very useful." And the other person says, "I'll get things going on my end. When do you think it'll all happen?" "McCoy has 2 months left," says Emma. No sooner than that. I'll need that time to finish putting the pieces together for my plan in any case. There's a big one I still have to handle. After that, though, we'll see. And they clink champagne glasses. God, I wonder who that character is. Dun, dun, dun. And now it's only yesterday. We've jumped ahead another 2 months. And McCoy's device is activating in the Savage Land, and we're also in
Whoa, they're in
limbo.
li okay, they're in
Yeah.
limbo.
Yep.
Oh, of course.
They moved the school limb because it was safe from the Terrigen Cloud. But things have not gone well there either.
I'm sure.
And we are back to McCoy. He's like, "Oh no. Are you all right?" says Iso. "Your expression, it's strange. I just," and he notices that there's a chart shown in the Terrigen saturation level in the Savage Land has escalated up into the hundreds, whatever those numbers mean. And he's remembering all these other extinction events that went on
Yes.
and people dying and stuff, trying to
Yes.
figure out. So
Yes.
we had the Brood, we have Apocalypse. Looks like Havoc is besorging someone in the bottom right there. And that's on the right there in the middle is when Logan got covered in adamantium when they killed off the original
Oh,
Wolverine.
is that how he died?
Yep.
Wow.
And I don't know what that is right above him though. I can't.
Some kind of big, ugly bug-looking things destroying a city, and you got Cyclops killing Professor X.
Oh yeah, that's what that is. Okay, so
And I think that's, is that the first Kitty Pryde in the Days of Future Past thing, or I don't know.
it might be. I don't know who Havoc is besorching there in that bottom right, but I
Yeah,
guess
it
it doesn't.
definitely looks like. Oh, yeah. That's probably one of those Uncanny Avengers books. He might
Sure
didn't
was.
he captured Cyclops at one point? Maybe that was it. I don't remember.
I don't know. So he's not happy. Yeah, he's all. And then he puts on his happy face and says, "It's nothing. Shall we get some lunch? I am starving." And now we're back in Limbo, X Haven. It's a school, Terrigen-free mutant safe zone. We have Storm, who's the headmistress, and also, hey, a mutant. And she's back to having the Mohawk, sort of modified Mohawk. Kind of a mohawk slash mullet. And her phone rings, and she's in the middle of talking to Magic, who is a mutant. And she says, "Believe it or not, Emma Frost is here. She wants to see you. Should I send her on her way?" Or, no, show her in. I just need to take this call first," says Storm. They can get good reception in Limbo. I can't even get good reception sometimes in the building I
I
work in.
know, it's something.
And kind of hard to tell the difference between Ileana Rasputin and Emma
Okay,
Frost.
so there's a checklist for all this stuff, huh? Okay.
So we've got Emma Frost is coming in to talk to Storm. She says, "Hello, Aurora. Who was that?"
Oh,
"It was
I'm way
Beast.
ahead. Sorry.
The one in New Adelon." "Oh, and what did that grouchy old kitty cat have to say?" "He wants to meet on Muir Island. He says he has an update on the Terrigen research, but couldn't give details. He wants everyone there, everyone, a representative from every major mutant group." "Such drama," says Emma Frost, who is queen of the drama, by the way. So
Yeah, no
ironic.
kidding.
Sometimes I just wish he'd just text about these things. "Where are you here, Emma?" "Mr. Beast has been very busy. Busy mutant. Has been a very busy, busy mutant over the last 8 months, diligently doing science things to save our people from the big bad Inhumans." "Well, so have I, Storm, although I have my own approach to this problem, less scientific, which is probably for the best. I'm not much good in a lab. I'd never pass chemistry at all if it wasn't for the magical power of short skirts. Tell me, how did Hank sound? Happy, like someone with good news?" "Well, no, actually the opposite," says Storm. "Well, see, don't worry, darling. Emma's here to save the day, and this is to be continued in IVX number one. And yes, nice long checklist, as they always do. And we've got this, and in December, there's three books. And in January, there are seven books. And in also in February, and then March, they close it out.
Interesting.
And it does cross over with a Deadpool book, of course.
Yes.
And it looks like it's a bi-weekly, this IVX thing.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it should be good.
Though December only has one issue, whereas January has two.
Yeah,
two, I don't know. And then one. Whatever.
That's all flexible anyway, isn't it?
According to Marvel, it is, because their Civil War is coming out whatever the hell they feel like it.
Yeah. What? Yeah, that's really dumb on their part. You know?
It is. It is, it is. And that's the whole issue.
Yep. Okay. Well, that was...
intriguing. Good setup.
Yeah, I have to admit, I'm looking forward to reading more about this and maybe getting in on the new deal when it comes out.
We've got a Cable book coming out. We've got a Jean Grey book coming out. Iceman comic coming out. X-Men Blue and Gold, like you said. A new...
Generation X.
Generation X book coming out. I think that's it for now. I'm sure there will be others. I was a little surprised that at the Jean Grey book, but not so much the Iceman book, because they had to put out a gay character book. That was very important.
Yeah, that's what I read. That's all that book's going to do is focus on his sexuality. So is that the original? Is that the one from our timeline or one from the past?
Both. But both. I don't know which is in the book. Okay. It may be both of them in the book. It may be, who knows? But
I think that's just a little bit confusing.
It's also a huge mistake to make that the focus of the book.
That was the headline I read. I didn't read the details. It's like that was the entire focus of the book. Was that?
I think that's idiotic. I think it's great when they do a book with a black character who just they're black, but that's not the book.
Yeah.
Once in a while they bring in somebody who brings it up, but that's it. But you can visually see he's black, she's black. Exactly. Or when they do with a woman, that's a woman. You don't have to make it the book.
I agree. It's maybe not a good idea.
Nope, it's not. And the book will not last. The book will fail, and people will say that it was because of bigotry. I think it's going to fail because it's going to be an uninteresting book.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Why would you want to read a superhero book about a superhero doing non-superhero things? I mean, that's kind of my thing.
Guess we'll find out.
You know?
I will check out issue one, and if I don't like it, I won't check out issue two. I've done it with the DC books, and I will give these books their attention.
Right, right.
So that's all
we got, right?
That's us revisiting Marvel for a week.
Yeah, yeah, that's a big deal for us, isn't it?
Kind of is. And it's funny. I'm looking at my unreads that I still have in my unread pile, and half of them are probably Marvel. Mm-hmm. I've got Avengers here. I've got Black Widow. Deadpool. What else is here? Ms. Marvel, Nova, Scarlet Witch, Spider-Man 2099. I've got The Clone Conspiracy, Totally Awesome Hulk, Unworthy Thor, Uncanny Inhumans. I mean, they're all in my pile, and yet somehow we keep going back to DC. I think now that I'm thinking about it for a second, the reason we're doing that, I think, is because I think we're all kind of surprised at how good the DC books have turned out to be.
Well, I am too, and I am, but I'm not. I guess I was cautiously optimistic that we're actually going to let the writers write again, and that's what I think is happening.
Yeah.
Now, past that, not all of them are my favorite, but that doesn't mean they're not good. They're just not my favorite. I still think there's a lot more books at DC that I enjoy than I used to. and there's none of them that I hate. I just don't like, you know, the Green Lanterns ones, just the Green Lanterns with an S just fell completely flat with me.
Yep.
And I know you and agree with that. So, I mean, that's just kind of the way it goes, I guess. So.
And then Green Arrow's gone that route, and Wonder Woman is soon to be joined. And yeah. Trinity is already off the pile.
So. Yeah, I had a bunch of those on subscribe, and I'm just, like, so way behind. I don't want to, like, just keep buying them mindlessly. Blah, 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 blah. Having trouble with words today.
And I didn't mean to say Wonder Woman. That was a mistake. I've actually re-enjoyed one.
Well, sorry, that was my, I've got three or four issues of that I haven't read. I need to catch up on, so... you know, go back to that, and go from there. So, because, you know, if I don't know what it's going to be like once my if that big project ever starts. They were talking about signing it on Friday, but they admitted that they need another 2 weeks, which will be the last day before Christmas, the week before Christmas, and I found out I have 50 hours I need to take before the end of the year or I'm going to lose it. So I'm taking another week off.
Well, on that note,
yes.
I'm going to call it a day.
Let's call it a day. Thank you for covering that. I appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I would have been asking too many questions in between, well, which I did anyway, but still. With that, as always, you can send us an email at podcast@talesfromthelawnbox.com and let us know what you think there. Or join us on Facebook and discuss these issues that we have talked about, or excuse me, the issue. You know, we all have issues because, you know, we're comic collectors. anyway, or you can comment on the actual. Yeah, that was pretty good, though, you got to admit. You can always leave a comment on the actual episodes and let us know what you think there. And that is it for this week.